Shmuel, Beis, Perik, Hey, Pasuk, Gimel, Vayavo, Kol Ziknei Yisrael, El HaMelech, Chevrona. And so all of the elders of Yisrael came to the king in Chevron. So the Radak immediately objects and says, wait a minute, we said a moment ago, all the tribes of Israel came in Pasuk Aleph, and now we say all the Zakanim came in Pasuk Gimel, so why are we being repetitiously redundant? Why are we repeating ourselves by repeating ourselves? And what the Radak suggests is that actually the Zakanim came first and made a bris that he would not treat them badly, as we're about to see in the rest of this pasuk. And only then did all of the Shiftei Yisrael come around and pretty much install him as king over Klal Yisrael. As we've said in the past, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had him anointed, but there is a certain degree of popular acceptance that also has to take place. So the pasuk says, all the Ziknei Yisrael, the elders, came to the king in Chevron. And it says also that they came to the king. So if you were to interpret it a different way, it was once he was king that the elders were coming now. But whether it was before or after, Vayichros lohem ha-melech David baris b'chevron lifnei Hashem. And the king, David, made a pact with them in Chevron before God. Vayimshechu es David lamelech al Yisrael. And they anointed David to be king over Klal Yisrael. Now we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already had Shmuel HaNavi anoint David to be king over Klal Yisrael. But this re-anointing process is very important for the sake of the public. The problem is, it was not, some of the Mefarshim point out in kind of a heading down a dark path, it was not in fact quite so permanent, because the Davidic line did lose absolute control over the monarchy several times. David's own grandson, Rehavam, would lose 10 out of the 12 tribes when they refused to serve him. The split between the kingdom of Yehuda and Yisrael, which came almost immediately afterwards, and during the Hashmonaim, rule of the people ended up in the hands of B'nai Levi rather than B'nai David. So the anointing of the king by the people was a temporal anointment that didn't have staying power. But the anointment of David by Shmuel, on the other hand, the Mefarshim tell us, that was eternal. And the sovereignty of Malchus based David would never be nullified, and the Mashiach is going to come from Malchus based David. And just as after the first anointment, he didn't receive his kingdom immediately, because first there was still Shaul, and then there was Ishbosheth, and all the trials and tribulations in between, his offspring also are going to have to wait a while before Malchus based David is reestablished through the decrees and suffering and what we are going through. I'm recording this just prior to Tisha B'Av, and obviously we have millennia of interruptions to Malchus Beis David. But the guarantee that it will return and that it will come back is absolutely ironclad. And they signed it in Chevron, which was one of three places where Avraham Avinu made a Mizbeach and sacrificed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One had been in Shechem, one was in Ai, and the third in Chevron. The one in Shechem was where Yehoshua later made a bris with all of Klal Yisrael and Sefer Yehoshua at the end of the Sefer. In Ai, Avraham's descendants were saved from the inhabitants there in Sefer Yehoshua as well. And now, the third Mizbeach is going to be the site of this bris between David and the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And now, Pasuk Dalet ben Shloshim Shana David b'Molcho. So David was 30 years old when he began his reign. So this is an overview. Arbaim Shana Moloch, and he ruled for 40 years, but it was in stages. Pasuk Hey b'Chevron Moloch al Yehuda sheva shanim v'shisha chadashim. In Chevron, he ruled over only Yehuda for 7 years and 6 months. That includes and encompasses the time of Ishbosheth, and then the interregnum for the 5 years in between. Over Yerushalayim, which we haven't seen yet. And in Jerusalem, Malach Shloshim v'Shalosh Shana, I'll call Yisrael v'Yehuda. He ruled over all of Klal Yisrael and Yehuda for 33 years in Jerusalem, which leads to the question, that would be 40 years and 6 months. So the timing isn't precise in the phrasing of the psukim. So we find a calculation and ages being listed for David that we didn't find for Shaul. And part of that, the Mayim Lo'ez brings down, is because Shaul's reign was impermanent And so there was no need for that. We didn't need precise counts because his reign was fleeting and temporary. But David's reign, which is going to be permanent over Klal Yisrael, it has to continue. Now, some say, as a result of the mathematical computations here, that David really ruled for 40 years and 6 months. The 33 years complete in Yerushalayim and the 7.5 years that were in Hebron. Others say that his rule in Yerushalayim was only 32.5 years. And they rounded up to 33 to add honor to the city of Yerushalayim. But really, it was exactly 40 years of rule. Why did David have to wait until he was 30? So one pshat that is brought down in some of the Mefarshim is that his ancestor Yehuda had sold Yosef into slavery, which delayed Yosef's being able to marry and accomplish all the mitzvos of marriage and family until he was 30. As we know, from when Yosef was sold at 17 until all of the time in prison and eventually being brought before Paro and then interpreting the dreams and then being called Safnas Paneach, he was 30 years old, as the Torah says very specifically, when he came into power. And so as a result, it turns out that David would have to wait until that same age before he took power. Some say that if you look at the gematria of the word Yehuda, Yud, Hey, and then a Vav, and a Dalet, and a Hey, so that comes out to exactly 30. And so that 30 is hinted at by what happens to David. Now, for the rest of the parak, what we are going to see is how David is going to conquer Yerushalayim, having brought Yerushalayim into the conversation. So the holy city is now going to get its just due from the Psukim. And eventually, we're going to see also David think about the concept of building a Beis HaMikdash in that holy city, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell him is not going to be his task, but that of his son.